We've been busy with a series on prayer and prayer, intercession, fasting, and hearing God's voice last week. I just want to recap what we touched on last week. So if you're visiting with us here, I ask you to bear with us. It's very, very important that we understand scriptural principles concerning this very, very important aspect of Christian life. And I'm very excited to go through the stuff. We ended off last week by speaking about the prayer of thanksgiving. And our theme verse for the soul series is from Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, which says, "Call to me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And then we spoke about the prayer of thanksgiving, and what makes this prayer so significant and powerful is that you give God thanks for sometimes stuff that he hasn't even answered yet. And it's important that this prayer goes with every kind of prayer. We looked at the fact that there are approximately 13 kinds of prayer spoken of in the scripture, different kinds of prayer, times and places and principles that are guidelines in the scripture. And we also looked at the fact in weeks past that there's only two times that you should be praying. How many can remember what those two times are? That's right. See, there's one or two people that remember. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, those are the times to pray. And people have often used this expression and they say, well, all that we can do is pray. Or they say, well, the least we can do is pray. And that's not true. It's not the least you can do. It's the most that you can do. It's the most that you can do. You don't have to have a special time and a place to pray. When the need arises, you just pray and you just to spend time with God like that. And I like to say this often and often and often so that we get it in our heads. That's why there's four Gospels, because ons is hardwoordig. To hear it over and over and over is that prayer is more a case of being with someone than it is a case of doing something. So I want to encourage you to do that, and that not at the end of the series that we not just have a factual knowledge in our heads about the principles of prayer, but that we become a people that has a culture, a lifestyle of praying. Everybody okay with that? The prayer of thanksgiving last week, we looked at the fact that what they did when they engaged in warfare, they put the worshippers right in front of the battle. They put the worshippers right in front of the battle. We looked at the fact that when you pray and ask God for stuff, he sends angels to minister on your behalf and for those who will inherit salvation. We see that in Hebrews 1:14. But when you praise and give God thanks, God pitches up himself and intervenes on your behalf. So it's important to be able to do that. We looked at the fact that praise changes things. Praise changes things. It's important to give God thanks. And we saw from the scriptures there, it says, pray with all kinds of prayers and intercession with thanksgiving, that this kind of thanksgiving must accompany your prayer at all times. This week, we're going to look at the most unselfish kind of prayer that you get. This kind of prayer is evident throughout Paul's writings. We see Jesus do this. We see Moses do this. We see several people apply this kind of prayer. This kind of prayer is unselfish kind of prayer, and it is the prayer of intercession. The scripture that I'd like to open up with is from Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 says the following. "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Wow. Somebody shared this thought with me one day, and it's just a thought, okay, don't take it to heart and get too ernstig about it. But imagine God looks across the earth and he looks at his people, he looks at the church of Jesus Christ, and he looks for somebody faithful, somebody that he can trust, somebody that he can use, and somebody that he can give the idea of Microsoft Windows to. And he looks and he finds nobody in the church whose heart is right, and he says, okay, let me give it to somebody who's not living for me. Just think about that. What would it have been like if the person who released Windows was a born-again, spirit-filled child of God who's kingdom-minded? Imagine how those finances can be used and distributed. Somebody to stand in the gap. What about other ideas that are absolutely incredible today? It's the simplest ideas like, I don't know, Prestick. I think it's an incredible idea. I think maybe it came from somebody's bubble gum that got a little bit old. And they realized that the older it gets, maybe it gets more sticky, or actually bubble gum gets hard, doesn't it? Maybe got so old that it started getting fraught and soft again, and maybe that's the idea where Presti came from there, I don't know. But imagine God looking across his body and looking for people that he wants to entrust ideas with and finds no one's, okay, maybe I can give it to this person. And same thing applies here in standing in the gap. This kind of prayer is standing in the gap for others. And it says, I looked for somebody who would build a wall and stand in the gap for my people or for the people in half of the land, but I found no one. It's important to understand that this kind of prayer, in essence, is just about that. It's unselfish prayer, praying for others as directed by God, standing in the gap. It's commanded in Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore I exhort first of all, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2. Therefore I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now I'm going to paraphrase that a bit. I'm going to change it and bring it a little bit closer to home. So this is God. So I exhort first of all, I'm asking you to seriously, I exhort you, I encourage you. An exhortation is something that lifts you up. So God says, through this I want to lift you up by doing this, that prayers, supplications, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for your president. Nobody in the church is saying amen. Nobody in the church is saying amen, Mozzie, when I speak about praying for the president. How many of you know that the president needs prayer? I mean, let's face it. Look at the toestand van hierdie land. The president needs prayer. The president needs prayer. And I'm the first to criticize and to throw stones and to point fingers and to say, when are they? When are they? When are they? When are they going to do this? When are they? When God is asking us to stand in the gap and pray for they. If we say, when are they going to do this? When I believe God, and I'm just using poetic license here, God, so when are they going to intercede and actually do what I've asked them to do? And it says, pray for all people in authority. All you need to do to get a better pastor is to pray for the one you've got. Now you're laughing and saying amen. Hoekom nou? Just pray for the one you've got. If I'm not anointed enough, if I don't preach according to your liking or whatever, or you don't feel the move of God, or you kry nie die geestelike hoender vleis nie, pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer. One and two of you believe it. I need prayer just like you. There's normal red blood flowing in my veins. And anybody that's in authority, pray. Die baas by die werk met wie jy nie oor die weg kom nie. Your immediate supervisor or manager. That's part of the management team. You don't like them. Pray for them. That management. Pray for the management. That is so, isn't it? Pray for the management. You see, what is this? It's just a platform that God gives to people. The platform that you've been given. God's giving you a platform to stand in the gap and intercede for others. If God says, I look, may God stop as he looks over you and say, ah, there's somebody that's willing to stand in the gap. You see, this is unselfish prayer. Me, the three people I think of first, most of the time, is me, myself, and I. And then afterwards, then start thinking about other people. But God calls us to be a people of fervent petition, compassion, and care, and intercession. Pray for those in authority. So what? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. A quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Right. Now, without pushing the doctrine of tongues as if it's our pet doctrine or something that has to take place or it's the only gift of the Spirit, the prayer of intercession is most effective when we pray in tongues. That is why the devil has done everything in his power to convince people that gift is only for certain Christians. There's divisions and splits in churches over that principle. But at the end of the day, the scripture teaches clearly why that is important. So that you can look cool as a Christian. So that you can ara ara wara wara and say all these funny things and impress non-believers perhaps. The Bible does say that it's been It's been given as a sign. But the prayer of intercession is most effective when we pray in tongues. Why? Because if I give you 3 minutes, maybe even less than 3 minutes, you can pray for anything and everything that's important that comes to your mind. You can pray for Tant Sari's ingegroeide toenail. You can pray for yourself and your family. You can pray for the pastor, and then you pray for the government, and then you can bid dat dinge beter word by die werk. And then, what do you do? After those 3 minutes are up. Think about it. How long does it take you to pray what's important for you? And thereafter, waarvoor bid jy dan? Think about we have a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting, an hour of prayer intercession in an uur. Sjoe, mosie, waarvoor gaan ons bid dan vir die hele uur? Jy kry ons als voor gebid binnen 'n paar minute en dan? Well, the scripture gives us an answer to that. Now don't get angry with me, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that we do not know what to pray for. It says we don't know what to pray for. But let's see scriptural confirmation for why we should pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It differentiates with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. And Paul goes on to speak about it. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So you can pray in tongues while you read the scriptures. You can pray in tongues while you watch TV. You can pray in tongues while your mind is thinking about other things, because you're not praying with your natural mind, you're praying with your spirit. Everybody understand that? That's why you can do that. So he says this. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays. And Romans 8:26, it says likewise, the spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Romans 8:26. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. There it is. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now that might not be the case all the time. Oftentimes I've been in a counseling situation where you call people up for an altar call and prayer, whatever, and they come forward with a particular prayer request and say, Mozzie, please pray for this, and the Spirit of God is saying something else. And I just say, no, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit, or I pray specifically what God has laid in my heart. And pray. You might have this perception that this is what we should be praying for, but actually God has something else in heart and on His mind. So you pray for that. That is why it's important to be able to be filled with the Spirit of God, receive your gift of tongues from God, and be able to pray in the Spirit. It says, likewise, the Spirit makes prayer in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, notice the words used here, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. So the Spirit intercede. The Spirit Himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let's look at some examples of intercession. This is a classic example of how Moses intercedes for the people. You see throughout the scriptures, God's interaction with Moses, and Moses speaking to God, Moses says, your people, your people, your people. So it's like your people and then me. And then you see a change in Moses' heart where Moses stands in the gap for the people. And then Moses says, my people. That, in the essence, is the essence of intercession. Taking ownership and responsibility of something. Instead of saying, when are they? But no, Lord, I am going to be part of the solution. Many years ago, and it's happening less and less and less today. In fact, the trend has changed. Shortly after the transition, the new government in this country, the figures of South Africans leaving the country were just escalating. Do you know today that the trend is opposite? The trend is opposite, where more South Africans are. What are they doing? They're coming back. Because hulle dan besef, die gras is nie eintlik so groener aan die ander kant nie. And if it is greener on the other side, it's because it's got more manure there. the trend has changed. And the trend where people, they just wanted to leave South Africa. Oh, South Africa's just going to be like Zimbabwe. South Africa's just going to be like the rest. Well, if that's what you believe, guess what? According to your faith, be it unto you. But I don't know what the future holds. I know that the future of this country is in the hands of a known God. I don't know what the future of South Africa is, ladies and gentlemen. But I know the promise that God has for us. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. That you includes South Africa. I said that you include South Africa. God's got a plan for this country as well. And people were leaving this country by the thousands. And I said this. I said, that's great. You know, if God has really, really called you, the safest place you can be in the world today is right in the middle of God's word. In the middle of God's will, sorry. In the middle of God's will. So people left South Africa to go and avoid crime, stepped right out of the will of God and fell victim to crime overseas. They might have earn more money there, whatever the case may be, but they're further away from God than they've ever been. Seldom did people leave this country considering waar gaan ek fellowship en 'n geestelike tuiste kry. That wasn't even a consideration. And I said this, one day if God blesses me with children, and I hope that's not part of his plan for my life. I love children, by the way, other people's children, especially when you can give them back, God bless them. I really, really do love children. I really do. I'm just joking like that, okay? I've got nothing against kids. It's by choice that we don't have children today. Because Paul says, live as if you're not married. That's what I choose to do. So, wat lag julle? Jy's my bietjie die Bybels gaan lees. But I'm just trying to stay focused on my preaching here, please, church. I said to people, if God blesses me with children one day, I want to be able to say to my son, look here, this is what I helped build. This is what we fought for. I don't want to one day say to my kid, check, this is where we ran away to when the going got tough. And I'm not knocking those people that have gone overseas. If you've gone overseas in the will of God, God bless you. But if you've left because you think you're going to get something else outside of you that was missing on the inside, I'm sorry for you, but you needed to allow God to do a work in your midst. You see, an intercession, the essence of intercession is being part of the solution. Not part of the problem. That's the heart of an intercessor. Being part of the solution. An intercessor takes ownership of something that you would otherwise, you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want to be part of that. And Jesus played the most beautiful role of intercession ever. And he said, I'll go, Lord. I'll go. We see this I'll just give you the scripture anyway. It's not given to the guys at the back. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Let me turn there quickly. Isaiah 6. And this writing from the prophet. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. The scripture speaks about us being a chosen generation, royal priesthood, God's own special people. We become those special people when we stand in the gap and say, Lord, I'll do this. I will stand in the gap. And you see, spreading the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, it's sometimes messy work. It involves getting your hands dirty. It involves doing unpleasant things. It's not about getting glory or getting shine or getting popularity or praise from people because of things that you do. It means getting your hands dirty, doing some things that are uncomfortable and unpleasant. That's what it means. Oh, so you thought that you were Christian just to ensure that you get saved from hell. That's part and parcel of it, yes. But then to go out and to take that message and that lifestyle to people that, you see, the role of an intercessor and the heart of intercession is loving the unlovable. Loving the unlovable. There's a group of children and an aspect of children in India. You know what they're called? They're called the untouchables. They're orphaned, homeless children that are in the streets that are called the untouchables because nobody wants to touch them. Nobody wants to do anything, have anything to do with them. The essence of intercession has been willing to reach those and make a difference. Yeah, but Lord, you don't understand my circumstances, and I'm not this and I'm not that, and all these excuses. Believe me, I'm a specialist when it comes to excuses. I denied the call of God on my life for many years until I just realized, listen, Mozzie, you can run, but you can't hide. You can just turn your back on the call of God in your life, but you're always going to be a round peg in a square hole. Or you can just surrender and say, here I am, Lord, just use me. Use me. You know, so that's the essence of prayer and intercession. Excellent example of this is in Moses' life. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21, the people have come out of Egypt now and they're on their way to the promised land. In Exodus 20 and verse 21, it says, so the people stood afar off. They distanced themselves from the mountain of God where he was manifesting his presence. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Interesting, isn't it? We say that God is light and God is, you know, in his presence is light. But then it says God was in the darkness. What happened at the moment of Jesus' death? There was darkness. There was darkness. Where was God? Right there. Right there. As he watched his son let himself be crucified for ons ondawe. So it says the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. And you see this, the people said to Moses later on in those passages of Scripture, no, Moses, we'll just stay here. Rather you go up to God and just hear what he has to say and then come down and just give it us. Because, you know, we don't want intimacy. We don't want to go up there, Lord, lest we die. You see, they weren't willing to die, but Moses couldn't care what happened to him. He wanted intimacy with God. Where are you sitting today? Will you be willing to yield to a call of intercession on your life? To stand in the gap? And the beauty of being able to pray in the Spirit is that sometimes you're praying for situations. You might be praying for a missionary that's about to be attacked in some mission field, some other place in the world. Nothing to do with your immediate circumstances or around you or things that you're even aware of. But you pray as you allow the Holy Spirit to pray you through you. That's the beauty of intercession. Another classic example, you see the power and effectiveness of intercession. What does intercession do? Do you, you know, God's word is his word, and what he says settles things, isn't it? Do you believe that? How many of you, do you believe that people can change God's mind when God has said something? Can we do that? I mean, God speaks. Can we change God's mind? Let's have a look at the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 32, he means that I'm a droog gemaak hierso. Hy genuine, hulle droog gemaak. Exodus 32. Come with me there quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 32. Exodus 32, and we're going to read from verse 7. The story is Moses is taking time. His time on the mountain, the people get impatient. They decide, well, where's Moses now? Well, let's worship something. So they take their jewelry and they make a golden calf. They fashion a golden calf to worship whatever, and then Moses is having intimacy with God, and then this happens. And the Lord says in verse 7, Exodus 32, verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get down. For your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Look at God's language. He's wanting Moses to take ownership. Your people. He says, your people. I called you. Your people. They've corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they've made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel. They brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And then Moses pleaded with the Lord. Yeah, what does Moses start to do? He intercedes. I mean, he could have just said, Here, ek stem saam. Hoe durf hulle? Na alles wat hy vir hulle gedoen het, en vir ons gedoen het, ons verlos van die verbintenis van die Egiptenare. Hier is ons nou, op pad na die beloofde land toe. Straf hulle, Here. Maak met hulle nes u wil. Take them out, Lord. What does Moses do? What does Moses do? Moses stands in the gap. That's why Moses was Moses. And the Lord, Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I've spoken of I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And yeah, we see a change in God's heart, verse 14. And so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Such is the significance of intercession. Such is the power of intercession and the role to change God's heart. People have said, and can rightly, justly say, that the things in this nation, the things we're experiencing, the droughts that we've experienced and probably will experience, is God's judgment, it might be. Whereas a nation as a whole doesn't seek God's face. Wat maak mense op Sondag? Op Sondag. They had sporting events, they had concerts, they had all sorts of shows and entertainment, but oor die naweke plaasvind. All God, I mean, is it too much for God to ask like an hour or two of our time nogal on a Sunday to get together corporately and worship him? Is it dan te veel? Ja, but Mazi, I work 6 days a week. And you don't know how busy it is. Oh, ek het net tyd op 'n Sondag te gaan doen. And you see the principle of the Sabbath. That's where it's so important, yeah, to make that time to intercede. The day you have it is not the issue, but that you adhere to the principle of having Sabbath, having rest, a time where you rest. Even Jesus did it. We cannot do but otherwise. We cannot do otherwise, people. And God calls us to stand in the gap and to do just that, to intercede for our friends and our family and our loved ones. We see that Jesus also intercedes. Jesus also intercedes. We see these principles from his life. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22 from verse 31. And then the Lord said, Simon, Simon. We had Simon Peter, yeah. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. Jesus says, I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Go forward a couple of chapters to the prayer in the garden. Jesus is about to be arrested and he's praying in John 17, the prayer of Jesus. And he categorizes this specifically. In John 17, verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. He doesn't leave it there though. I do not pray for the world, Jesus says, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus interceding for the church. He also prays for the world, but he makes a mark of uitzondering. So I do not pray for the world, Lord. I'm praying for those whom you have given me. The majority of the prayer throughout scriptures is for the church. It's for the believers. The majority of the prayer, the teachings on prayer in scripture, is for believers. We should be praying for each other, interceding for each other, standing in the gap for each other. John 17 and verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So clearly Jesus prays for his disciples, and then he prays for those who will come to the knowledge of salvation through the work of the disciples. And he says, I pray for these also. And then we see Jesus' intercession at the cross. He's already being crucified, and he's on the cross in Luke 23 and verse 34. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Right to the very end, we see Jesus' intercession prior to the cross. We see Jesus' intercession after the cross. In Romans 7 and verse 25. Romans 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7. 25. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. At the right hand of the Father, Jesus skinder nie in God se oor ons nie. He's not skinnering, he's interceding to the Father on our behalf, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. That part ever means just that, forever. He always lives. He ever lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is going to continue interceding for us until forever. Until forever and a day. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's Romans 8:34. So we see the intercession of Jesus before the cross. We see the intercession of Jesus after the cross. We see that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the helper. He's the one Jesus said would remind us of everything that he taught us. The Holy Spirit is also makes intercession for us, we said, when we pray in the Spirit, but also him himself making intercession for us. Romans 8, we're sticking there for a while. Romans 8:26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're praying and we're praying amiss, we do not know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We see Paul's intercession for the church. Many times in Paul's writing, you will see this phrase in the Bible. Paul says, making mention of you in my prayers. Again and again and again in his letters. Making mention of you in my prayers. The majority of prayer in the scripture is for believers. It's for the church. How much more so should we be standing in the gap and praying? So Paul mentions often in his writings, making mention of you in my prayers. Intercession is not always easy and it's not always comfortable. Intercession will sometimes be tough and it's tiresome. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to intercede. And let's talk specifically. To pray specifically in tongues for an hour. How many of you have tried that? I challenge you. It's challenging. It's like anything. It takes practice. It takes effort. And it takes discipline to doing it over and over. We have a prayer, intercessory prayer for an hour. When we don't pray for Tansari se ingegroeide groenal, ingegroeide toonal, a groenal. What is a groenal? Heavens. Dis die nagmaal wyn. Nee, dit is nie. But we pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. It's taxing. It's mentally straining. It is physically taxing to pray in the Spirit. And Jesus asked his disciples, tarry with me, pray with me for 1 hour. I used to criticize the disciples. Check hierdie manne. Hulle raak sommer net aan die slaap. They fell asleep. He comes to them and there they are. Snoring, much better. He says, hey guys, I asked you to pray with me, man. I need you now. Pray with me. Yeah, no, Lord, we're there. I got your back, Jesus. He turns around, he goes and he prays, he comes back. There's weer in his slaap. I used to point fingers at the disciples and criticize them. You know what the Bible teaches? That they fell asleep because of sorrow. How many of you have been so sorrowful that you passed out? By looking at you this morning, I see some of you are very, very sorry because you're battling to stay awake. You're very, very sorrowful this morning, maar die preek is amper klaar. To stand in the gap and intercede is sometimes, in fact, almost always, it's difficult. You see, when you receive a burden on your heart for something, it grabs hold of your emotions and you feel the compassion of Jesus for others. That is the essence of intercession. And the scripture says this, Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. I'm almost done. I've been preaching for half an hour. And I'm going to end off with this. Before the deep end comes up, we're going to practically apply what we've learned this morning. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. We looked at the ministry of the watchman in weeks gone past, how you play that intercessory role as a watchman. And it says, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest. Listen, give God no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. He speaks about watchmen. He says, the watchmen do this. They shall never hold their peace, they are not. They don't keep quiet. They don't stop. They don't stop interceding. They keep on pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest. I can see the image of like Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And he holds on to the Lord. He says, no, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. It says he wrestled with God. And as a result, his hip was out of joint and he had a limp. Forever. Afterwards, he was never the same. He never, ever walked the same. How many of you whose Christian walk has been changed because you continuously intercede? And I know women do this a lot more than men somehow. I think it's a good sign of the health of the church when there's more men at the prayer meeting than there are women. Because the women tend to do this. The women tend to stand in the gap and pray for their husbands while their husbands are just living flat out for the devil. The women are standing in the gap and they're praying for their husbands. They're praying and they're standing in the gap for their husbands. But it's not just the woman. It's not just, prayer meeting is not just for ladies. It's a healthy sign. And the church is healthy when there's more men at the prayer meeting than there are women. Some of the men believe it. Others are like, yeah, Mozzie, I'm going to rugby cake. Well, maybe you don't watch rugby anymore, and I don't blame you. But you watch something else. I don't know. But God is calling us to stand in the gap, to not give up, to continuously intercede and to press in. So God asks us this morning, will you stand in the gap? This kind of prayer is an unselfish kind of prayer, where we stand in the gap. Some people have experienced miraculous healings in their bodies when they've prayed for others who have come up for prayer for healing. Standing in the gap, praying for others. You pray for others when there's ailments in your body, God ends up healing you. And it's like that. So God asks this morning, are you willing to stand in the gap for your situation at work? Maybe the company's leadership is making bad decisions. Are you willing to stand in the gap for the staff that teaches your children at school? Are you willing to stand in the gap for the president, for Jacob Zuma? Just saying that name makes me angry. I'm being serious. I'm sharing my heart with you. I get angry at things that are going on in this nation. Are you willing to stand in the gap? Are you willing to make the time and wait upon the Lord as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and prays through you? Are you willing to let God make you hungry that he gives you your heavenly tongue that you can intercede when you do not know what to pray for and you can pray in tongues and stand in the gap for situations? Are you willing to stand in the gap and intercede for your unsaved family? Family that you know that if they died right now, the preacher will have to lie at the funeral to say that that person's gone to heaven. Are you willing to stand in the gap and intercede? May the Holy Spirit enable us to do just that. I'm going to take some time this morning before the deep end comes up to practically do that. I'd like us to intercede and stand in the gap this morning. And by the pattern that is taught to us in Scripture, I want us first and foremost to stand in the gap as the church for the church. Look around you. You're the church. And we pray for this church. We pray for the church of Jesus Christ throughout this nation. We pray for the church of Jesus Christ globally. Then after we've prayed for the church, we're going to pray for our families and loved ones. Pray for those that you know that they're not living for Jesus like they should be living. You're not sure that, is that person going to make it if they die? Are they going to make it to heaven? And then we're going to make time to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for this nation. We're going to pray for the government. We're going to pray for the president. And pray for people who are in positions of authority. Is that okay this morning? So right there where you're seated, assume the prayer position. Now you see where a lot of people get, I call them headache Christians. Not because they give you headaches, but you say, okay, nou gaan ons bid, wat maak hulle dan? Kry hulle so hoofpyn. So make yourself comfortable. If we stand in the gap and just intercede, we're going to intercede this morning as we are led by the Spirit of God. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you that if you baptize in the Spirit, you can pray in tongues right there where you're seated, just quietly to yourself. Pray in tongues and intercede. And I'll just pray in truth. I'll pray with my understanding this morning physically that we can pray a corporate prayer together. And as you sit there, just pray in the Spirit as we first of all pray for the church. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, we come to you. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Like you did in the garden, Lord Jesus, we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for the family of God. We pray for the family of Jesus Christ. This family here on earth, which people call the church, which we call the church. We pray for ourselves and we pray for each other this morning, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that we would allow you to continue to prepare us to be the bride that you want us to be. A church that effectively ministers to you and brings you glory and honor. A church that works together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. A church that allows your Spirit to flow. A church that operates in the gifts of the Spirit but manifests and shows the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that we become effective, Lord God, in accurately representing you to the world. We pray for the church. We pray for the growth of your church. We pray for our growth in spiritual maturity, wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of you. The numbers will come, Lord God. We're not chasing numbers. We're seeking your anointing and your presence in our midst, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us as a church. I pray for this church, Lord God. For the church of Jesus Christ in South Africa, Lord God, we pray for this church. That the church will rise up and take its rightful place in society, Lord God. When we scorned upon, when we mocked, when we laughed at, that it would show the character and nature of Jesus Christ to the world, Father. That we won't be reactive Christians, Lord God. We'll be a reactive body that reaches out and touches people with the light and the love of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's pray for our unsaved family, right there where you're seated. If you know of members in your family that you know that are not living for Jesus, let's just pray for them right now. And like I said, if you can pray in tongues and intercede and call on those people by name and call them in to the fold of God. Let's just pray together for them. Father, as you have been gracious with us, as you have been patient with us, as you have been long-suffering with us, Lord God, and giving us time to repent, Lord, we pray too, Lord God, for our loved ones. We pray for our unsaved family. We pray for unsaved sons and daughters, unsaved parents, and other relatives, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would be gracious to them. We ask, Lord God, that you grant them time to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus before Satan steals their lives. In Jesus' name. Father, it is your goodness that draws us to repentance. Remind them and show them through nature, through circumstances, through people, Lord, through the preaching of the word, through the ministry of the church. Show them that you are a good God, that you're a loving God that cares. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you save our loved ones, that you save our family, that you save our friends, Lord. Save them from hell and harm in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then in obedience to the Scripture, we are called to pray for those in authority. We pray for everybody who has any form of authority or leadership responsibility over us, Lord God, and in amongst us and around us, Lord. We pray for leaders this morning, leaders in your church, leaders in government, leaders in society, Lord God, leaders in areas of industry and in the marketplace, Lord God. We just pray for those leaders, people to whom you've been to whom you've given platforms, Lord God, to exercise godly influence of others. We pray for wisdom for these leaders, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the president of this nation, Lord God. We pray for President Jacob Zuma and all the people that make decisions, Lord God, that affect 48 other million people in this nation, Lord. 49 million, however many there are in this country. We pray for those, Lord God, that you would grant them godly wisdom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then this morning, Lord God, I want to pray for all of us here, Lord God, as we continue through the series on prayer, that we become a people that are prayerful, Lord God, that it becomes part of our lifestyle, Lord God, and that we, Lord, help us to be people that pray about stuff more than we complain about stuff, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Ask the deep end to come up one more time. Just close off with a song. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. May God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace that surpasses all understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.